An Osho Talk. The great Zen master, Ta Hui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 7.
See the moon. Forget the pointing finger. You must see the moon and forget the fingers. Don't develop an understanding based on the words. An ancient worthy said, "The Buddhas expounded all teachings to save all minds. I have no mind at all. So what's the use of all the teachings?" If they can be like this when reading the scriptures, only then will people of resolve have some comprehension of the intent of the sages. Stories and Sayings. These days, in the Chan communities, they use the extraordinary words and marvelous sayings of the ancients to question and answer, considering them situations for discrimination and beguiling students. They are far from getting to the root of their reality. When people engaged in meditation read the scriptural teachings and the stories of the circumstances in which the ancient worthies entered the path, they should just empty their minds. Don't look for the original marvel or seek enlightenment in sounds, names, and verbal meanings. If you take this attitude, you're obstructing your own correct knowledge and perception, and you'll never have an entry. Pan Shan said, "It's like hurling a sword at the sky. No talk of whether it reaches or not." Don't be careless. Vimalkirti said that the truth goes beyond eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and intellect. Ti Shan would see a monk enter the door and immediately strike him with his staff. Lin Chi would see a monk enter the door and immediately shout. Venerable adepts everywhere call this bringing it up face to face, imparting it directly. But I call it first class trailing mud and dripping water. Even if you can take it up with your whole being at a single blow or shout, already you are not a man of power. In fact, you have been doused over the head by someone else with a ladleful of foul water. How much more so if at a shout or blow you are looking for marvels or seeking subtle understanding? This is the stupidest of the stupid.
Ta Hui. Is his strange figure, but his presence on those people who try to find their self nature by intellectual effort. And the problem with these people is they have a good intellect. They can grasp words from masters. They can repeat them. They can deceive people. And they can be deceived themselves. Now this is one of the most stupid sutras amongst all his teachings. And I will show you why I am saying that. As I am going more and more in Tao Hui, I have been wondering whether to call him a great teacher or just a pseudo-teacher. Master, certainly he is not. Teacher he may have been, but there are things which are even below the status of a teacher. He seems to be a pseudo-teacher. He has not fulfilled even the qualifications for being an authentic teacher. Just transmitting knowledge from the masters to the masses. He cannot even understand what has been happening in the school of Zen. It is so special that a very rare insight is needed to comprehend it. And unless you have your own experience, it will always remain something of a doubt in you. For example, Zen is the only school in the world where the masters have slept the disciples, hit them with their staff, or even physically thrown the student out of the window. Not only that, the master jumped on top of him. Sitting on his chest, he asks, "Got it?" Zen is mysterious in his working. And people who read simply the anecdotes cannot make any sense out of it, because they don't know the inner story, which cannot be compiled in the anecdote, which is happening between the master and the disciple. That is invisible transfer of energy. Just to give you an insight so that you can see the stupidity of Tawhi. This man who has been thrown by a Linchi out of the window and then Linchi jumped over him and asked him, "Got it?" needs the total background to the story and the intrinsic undercurrent running through it. The disciple has been working almost for a year on a koan, which is the most famous koan in Zen. The sound of one hand clapping. Now there cannot be any sound with one hand clapping. You can go on clapping one hand, but sound is not possible. Sound is always produced when two things clash, and if there is only one, sound is not possible. So the first thing to understand is that a Zen koan is not an ordinary puzzle which can be solved. It needs a different approach, not that of solution, but that of dissolution. The poor student went, sat under a tree, thought about, meditated, what can be the sound of one hand? Do you hear the cuckoo? He heard a cuckoo from a far away bamboo grove. He said, "This is it. So beautiful." So peaceful. Bringing such joy. He rushed back, told the master, "I have heard it. It is the song of a cuckoo." And the master slapped him. And he said, "You idiot, I have told you to find out the sound of one hand clapping. What a poor cuckoo has to do it. Just go back and meditate." He was very much puzzled, because his mind was searching in sounds, which sound is, and one day he heard a breeze passing through the pine trees, and he said, "This must be." And he rushed back. And this went on for 1 year. He will find some sound, the sound of running water. And he will be back. A point came when the master has not the necessity to hear his answer. The moment he will see him, he will slap him. And he will say, go back. He asked, but I have not even said. He said, until you go on finding, you have not found it. Just go back. I know some stupid sound you have brought again. This was the student after 1 year when he came in. The master thought that slapping is not going to do it. He has slapped him for 1 year continuously. He just took hold of him and threw him out of the window. It was a two-story building. It was such a shock to the student because he was expecting a slap, but he was not expecting to be thrown from the window into a ditch. And above all it, the master jumped over him. So few bones which have left unbroken are broken. He has multiple fractures. And on top of it, he is asking, got it? The shock was such that his mind stopped. It was so unexpected. Mind stops only when there is something unexpected. So unexpected that the mind cannot figure it out. It stops. Absolute silence. And tears of joy in the eyes of the disciple. He touched the feet of the master and he said, why you waited for 1 year? You could have done it on the very first day. The master said, it would not have worked. I have to wait for the right and right moment. You have worked hard with your mind. Your mind is tired, utterly tired. It has lost all hope that there is any possibility to find the answer. This was the moment that if something unexpected happens to you, the mind may stop just for a single moment. And that's enough. To hear the sound of one hand clapping. The words are deceiving. It is not the sound of one hand clapping, it is the silence. When the mind stops. Now, anybody looking at the anecdote and not knowing the whole inner process, just an outsider, is bound to think this is simply stupid. But the disciple became enlightened. And it is always the end which decides whether the means were right or wrong. Tahui is just an intellectual. So sometimes he repeats beautiful words, but here he has shown his reality, because he could not conceive any meaning in the stories and the anecdotes. I will go into them. You must see the moon and forget the fingers. This is so easy to repeat. Because for thousands of years since Gautam Buddha, this has been one of the most important statements, that the Buddha only shows the finger towards the moon. His finger means all that he says, all that he does, is only an indication, a hint. You should not get too much attached to the finger, because the finger is not the point. What he is saying, what he is preaching, is not the point. It is only an indication. You should not get attached to the philosophy. You should not become a Buddhist. You should look at the moon. And to look at the moon, the very fundamental thing is to forget all about the finger. Because if your eyes are focused on the finger, how you are going to see the moon? Unless you remove your eyes from the finger towards far away moon in the sky, it is not possible. What Buddha was saying is, don't get attached to what I say. Don't get attached to any doctrine, what I preach. Don't get attached to my personality. These are all just fingers pointing to the moon. You forget me. Don't start worshipping me. You just look at the moon. And once you have looked at the moon, I don't matter at all. It is a very pregnant statement and a very courageous one to say to one's own disciples that don't bother what I say. I am not preaching any doctrine and I am not delivering you a system of beliefs or a philosophy. These are all devices to indicate to the truth which is beyond all words. But words can be used as a finger pointing to it. They cannot express it, but they can indicate it. It is very easy to repeat it, but I don't think he understands. You must see the moon and forget the fingers. Don't develop an understanding based on the words. And that's actually what he has done. All his understanding is based on words. An ancient worthy said, the Buddhas expounded all teachings to save all minds. I have no mind at all. So what is the use of all the teachings? The quotation is perfectly right. But this is what Buddha means by saving. The understanding arising in you that you don't have any mind, that you are a no mind. And then there is no question of saving. Till you are attached to the mind, you are in a bondage and you need to be brought out of the bondage. So the ancient worthy is right when he says the Buddhas expounded all teachings to save all minds. I have no mind at all. He is a saved man. So what is the use of all the teachings? Certainly, when you are saved, there is no use. When you have seen the moon, what is the use of the fingers? When your disease is cured, what is the use of the medicine? Are you going to worship the bottle of the medicine? Are you going to carry it wherever you go because it has saved you from a disease? The moment you are cured, you throw the medicine bottle. It is finished. Its work is done. It is almost you have a thorn in your feet. You take another thorn to take the first thorn out of your feet. The other thorn is as much a thorn as the first one. But you can manage to take the first thorn by the other thorn. Now what you are going to do with the other thorn? Are you going to put in the wound that has been created by the first thorn because it has saved you from the thorn? That will be utter stupidity. Then what was wrong in the first? But once the first thorn is taken out, you throw both the thorns together. All teachings are just like that. The ancient worthy is saying right, but Tahui does not understand what he is saying. He says, if they can be like this when reading the scriptures, only they will, people of resolve have some comprehension of the intent of the sages. He is saying that you can understand what the sage has said only if you are reading the scriptures, and only if you have a man of resolve, determination, and a man of comprehension, then you will be able to understand the intent of the sages. All the words that he is using are not needed to understand the sages. What is needed is an experience. Neither your comprehension, because all comprehension is intellectual, nor your resolve, because all resolve is of the mind. Neither your reading of the scriptures, because that is all your intellectuality. These things are not going to help to understand such a profound statement, which says the moment you have seen the moon, forget all about the fingers. This kind of statements can be experienced only through experience. Tahui has no experience at all. And that becomes very clear when it comes to the stories and sayings. Any intellectual, even today, condemn Zen stories. Or simply laugh that perhaps they are just jokes. Because they don't make any sense to the mind. These days, in the Chan communities, they use the extraordinary words and marvelous sayings of the ancients to question and answer, considering them situations for discrimination and beguiling students. They are far from getting to the root of their reality. When people engaged in meditation read the scriptural teachings and the stories of the circumstances in which the ancient worthies entered the path, they should just empty their minds. He is not even aware that he goes on saying things which contradict himself. Just look, when people engaged in meditation read the scriptures, a man who is engaged in meditation does not need to read the scriptures. Because whatever the scriptures contain is a far away echo of somebody's meditation. And if you are yourself meditating, you are at the very source. Why you should bother about far away echoes, corrupted, distorted by the interpretations, intellectuals, teachers, pedagogues, commentators. When you are at the very source yourself, you are at the very root from where all scriptures have arisen. A man of meditation has no necessity to read the scriptures and the teachings in the scriptures. And he is saying that, and immediately he said, and the stories of the circumstances in which the ancient worthies entered the path, they should just empty their minds. How can you empty your minds when you are reading scriptures, teachings, and the stories of the ancient sages, how they entered the path? You are filling the mind, not emptying the mind. Meditation empties the mind. But studying anything only fills it. They are diametrically opposite things to each other. But he is in a single sentence bringing the whole opposition together without ever being alleged that what he is doing will be thought utterly idiotic by anyone who knows what meditation is. Don't look for the original marvel or seek enlightenment in sounds, names, and verbal meanings. How you are going to read the scriptures if you don't look for the verbal meanings? What other kind of meanings are there? In a scripture, there are only words and nothing else. You have to read the scripture only as verbal meanings. If you take this attitude, you are obstructing your own correct knowledge. And perception, and you will never have an entry. He has no idea that knowledge is the problem one has to get free. And it is not knowledge that gives you perception. It is knowledge that hinders your perception. It is removing the knowledge that clears the sky. Just as clouds have moved and there is absolute clear perception, but this is bound to happen to a man who has been gathering things from here and there and who has not gone into meditation himself. Not a single thing shows that he has any taste of meditation. Pan San said, he quotes people because he has been going to teachers, masters, must have been taking notes what they are saying. He quotes many people. Pan San said, it is like hurling a sword at the sky, no talk of whether it reaches or not. Don't be careless. Vimal Kirti said, that the truth goes beyond eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and intellect. I am simply amazed that this man quotes Vimal Kirti, and Vimal Kirti is saying, unless you go beyond intellect and all your senses, you will not have the perception of reality. You will not know your self nature. But it does not strike him that he is simply working through the intellect. P-san would see a monk enter the door and immediately strike him with his staff. Linji would see a monk enter the door and immediately shout. Venerable adepts everywhere call this bringing it up face to face, imparting it directly, but I call it first class trailing mud and dripping water. Even if you can take it up with your whole being at a single blow or south, already you are not a man of power. In fact, you have been doused over the head by someone else with a ladle full of foul water. How much more so if at a south or blow you are looking for marvels, are seeking subtle understanding. This is the stupidest of the stupid, because he cannot understand, because he has no experience of his own. He calls it stupidest of the stupid. I will try to explain to you what exactly these people were doing. And they were immensely successful. And they are not stupid. Tahui is the stupidest of the stupid. T-san is famous and a great master. A monk will enter the door and immediately he will strike him with his staff. You have to understand the situation. The master sees the disciple . He gives him a certain koan, an unsolvable puzzle. Then whenever he finds the right answer to it, he has to come and report to the master. Now there is really no answer for it. So whenever a disciple entered to give him an answer, why waste time? He will simply hit him hard. He is making it as clear as possible that all answers are wrong. So there is no need to listen to your answer. Although it looks very strange that he has not told the answer, and you are hitting him. If he was wrong, you could have hit him, but he may have been right, but that is the problem. No answer is going to be right. Only silence. So it happened many times that a student will get hit many, many times and then for a few days he will not appear, and Tisan will inquire, where is he? And he will go to the place. It was a big monastery, a beautiful Zen garden. And he will find him sitting under a tree in utter silence. His face showed that the mind is no more functioning. That there is no wavering inside, that everything is quiet and calm. And the same Tisan who has been hitting this disciple will touch his feet. And as he will touch his feet, the disciple will open his eyes and he will say, Master, what are you doing? He said, I am touching the feet because you have found the answer. I was suspecting that something has happened because for many days you have not come. It happens only that students stop coming when they have found, because what to say? There is no answer. And they are enjoying their silence so tremendously. They have forgotten the koan, they have forgotten the master, they have forgotten everything. They are living in such an ecstasy that everything is left far away. And Tisan used to find the disciples, and it always proved right that his hitting has helped. His hitting finally made them aware that he is so compassionate and so loving. He will not hit unnecessarily. His hitting again and again shows only one thing, that whatever answer you have found is wrong. There is no need to hear it. Because there is no possibility of a right answer. By hitting, he is making it clear that there is no possibility of right answer. Mind is absolutely impotent to give you the answer. And slowly, slowly the disciple forgets about the koan, forgets about the sound, because it brings nothing but a hit of the staff of the master. But the moment he forgets the mind and the koan and the master and the search for any answer, he falls into a deep abysmal silence. And that silence is the answer, but you cannot say anything about it. And it is so wonderful, mysterious, that you are so contented with it that there is no need for getting a recognition from the master that you have found the answer. All these things have become trivial. But Tahui does not understand it at all. And perhaps anybody, even a great philosopher in the world, will not be able to understand what kind of things are these. It looks simply absurd. First you give him a koan, and then you don't even listen his answer. But it is a strategy, and a strategy of great love and great compassion. And the master touches the feet and asks to be forgiven for all the hits that he has. He had to do it. There was no other way. To destroy your stubborn mind, to destroy your clinging with the mind, to destroy the idea that you can find through the mind an answer, it was not only that you were hurt by my staff, I was hurt more. For all that, I touch your feet and I ask for your forgiveness. And Tishan was loved by his disciples, even though he was hitting with his staff. Tahui has no understanding at all. Linchi would see a monk enter the door and immediately shout. Any intellectual will make a laughing stock of the whole thing. What is the point? You give the appointment to the student, to the disciple, to come to your room, and then you suddenly shout for no reason at all. In my childhood, I had come across a man. His name was Sardar Chanchal Singh. He has been with Subhas Chandra Bose, a great Indian revolutionary who has escaped from the jails of British government. He had gone first in disguise to Germany to see Adolf Hitler because he wanted that you are fighting with the Britishers, we are also fighting and we need your help. If you can give us help, the British Empire can be attacked from two sides, from inside, and you can go on attacking it from the outside. And the policy was absolutely clear. And you will be surprised, Adolf Hitler has never introduced any man to his armies the way he introduced Subhas Chandra Bose. What he said to the armies, that respect this man more than you respect me, because I am a Führer of only a small nation. This man is the leader and the revolutionary of a vast continent. And he gave him, although he was not in any political position, a guard of honor. And it was Adolf Hitler and Subhas Chandra plan, they worked it out, that it will be better that he is sent to Japan. Because in Japan, there were thousands of Indian soldiers who were fighting for British government against Japan. It was a very clever policy that you go to Japan and I will inform Japan, because Japan was a colleague with Germany against the British, against the Americans. I will inform that allow Subhas to talk to all the Indian soldiers who are imprisoned in Japanese jails. And I have every certainty that this man is capable. And he was a man of immense charisma. That he will convince those soldiers that you are fighting for British Empire. To keep your slavery intact, rather you come with me and we will make an army and we will fight against British Empire. It was so logical and simple that the prisoners were ready. First, if they are ready, they will not be prisoners anymore. They will be guests of Japan. Secondly, however they may have been fighting for British, deep down they were against the empire. Just for their bread and butter, they had sold their souls. And once Subhas told them that you have sold your souls, so the whole camps of prisoners were opened. A new army, Indian National Army, was created by Subhas Chandra Bose. This Sardar Chanchal Singh was one of close colleagues of Subhas. He was also a prisoner. He was on a high post in Indian Army. He was also on a very high post in the Indian National Army that was going to attack from Japan. And they succeeded up to Rangoon. They defeated the British armies. Even Calcutta started feeling the fear that after Rangoon, the attack will be on Calcutta. All Britishers were removed from Calcutta. And people who had enough money to move, they all moved from Calcutta. Calcutta was on a danger point. At that very time, Germany was defeated. An atom bomb was thrown on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So Japan surrendered. And Subhas was in a strange position. Now both the friends who were supporting him are defeated, and he has a small army. Although he was winning, but how long he can go? He could not even reach to Calcutta. Calcutta was his hometown. So he escaped from Rangoon. And it is still a mystery what happened to him. There are stories that he has been seen in Soviet Union. There are stories that he lives in Tibet. There are stories which seem to be created by himself, because the plane he has taken from Rangoon fell in Taipei, burnt, and immediately the pilot and somebody, nobody knows who the other man was, without any press conference or without any medical examination, they were immediately burnt. They were already burnt, and because they both were Hindus, so they were put on a funeral pyre. Most probability is that Subhas was dropped somewhere else, and this plane was knowingly burnt to create the impression to the British Empire that Subhas is dead. Otherwise, he was the enemy number one. To be caught dead or alive. So this was a good fiction. He is dead, now there is no point. And he has even been burnt. And Taipei gave the report that he has been put on the funeral pyre. There was no point. The bodies were already burnt. They were unrecognizable. They have not even photographed those bodies, which are absolutely necessary as far as a man of the status of Subhas is concerned, for whom the British Empire was bloodthirsty. They should have taken photographs, they should have called medical people to examine, they should have in fact delivered the body to the British Empire. But my feeling is it was not the body of Subhas. It was just a facet created. And that was the feeling of Sardar Chanchal Singh also. He, by the chance, met me in a restaurant in Jabalpur. He has been released from the Indian jails because Subhas left all Indian National Army people were again in the jails. Now they were in the jails of the Britishers. But a case was fought for them. And he was released. And he was searching for employment. I told him that if you have learned any martial arts in Japan, I can manage a group of college and university students. You can teach them martial arts and they will pay you enough so you can survive before you can get any employment. I have told about Chanchal Singh because he has learned from someone exactly the way Lynchy must have been sounding. And I have heard his sound. I don't know Lynchy. Lynchy must have been more articulate in his sounding. But even this man, Chanchal Singh, if he shouted at you, your mind will stop immediately. If you were going to strike him with his sword and he shouts, your hand will stop. His sound was so deep so much penetrating in you that whatever you were doing you will simply stop. We had tried bringing wrestlers to hit him, to pinch his nose, and they were expert boxers. But the moment he will shout, their hands will just stop close to his nose. Something is strange in his sound. And just jokingly, we used to use him. Somebody is urinating and he will say, Chanchal Singh, give a good shout. And he will give a good shout and the urination will stop. And the man will look all around, what happened? I know perfectly well that there are many stories about Lynchy whose shout has awakened people. But it was not an ordinary shout. it was a certain training that enters in the deepest core of your being. And the whole problem is that man is asleep. A good shout is possible to wake him up. And in the school of Linchi, even today, the shout is being used. But it is not being used on every disciple. Only when a disciple has worked hard with his mind and his mind is tired, those koans are so tiring because you know that they are absurd. But if the master says, find out the answer, and you have come to the master to become awakened, you have to follow what discipline he gives to you. Those shouts are given only when the mind is almost on the brink of failure. And it is the understanding of the master that now is the time. When a disciple enters in Linchi's room without expecting that he will shout like a lion's roar for no reason at all, jump and shout as if he is going to kill the disciple, and the disciple will remain just the whole mind is stopped. And just for a moment, he can see his self nature. And the question is not of time. If you know your self nature even for a moment, things become easy. Now you know the way. Now you know yourself. You can reach to it again and again. Now, every time shout is not needed. It was only an arbitrary device. But Tahui condemns it because he does not understand the deep compassion, psychology, articulateness behind it. He proves himself to be an ordinary intellectual. Only one thing is right, that he uses the word stupidest of the stupid. But those words belong to him, not to Linchi, not to the master. Tisan. These people were doing absolutely new methods to awaken people. Their contribution is great. And Zen has made more people enlightened than any other school of any other religion. You can find even in one monastery many enlightened people. And this has been the only living current which has not stopped somewhere in the past, it is still alive. Still there are people like Tishan and Lynch, but they have fallen in darkness. America has corrupted Japanese atmosphere completely. Otherwise, Japan was a totally different world. Its whole genius was concentrated on how to become enlightened. Now, under the American rule, their whole energy has been diverted towards money. And there are people of great integrity, so great that now their money is on the top. Even dollar, American dollar, is left far behind. Now they are one of the richest nations in the world. And their money is more trustworthy than any nation's currency. But this is not a success. It is a tremendous failure. But America has corrupted their universities. Now what is being taught in their universities is borrowed from America. They are completely imitating America, competing with America, and certainly they have made America afraid. Although their products have to pay too much taxation when it enters America, still they are capable to compete in the American market with American products which are not needed to pay any taxation. The taxation has been going higher and higher to prevent American market being completely taken over by Japan. But even though they are raising their taxations for any import in America, Japan is still competing very well on every ground in the American market, and America is absolutely impotent to compete in the Japanese market. The Japanese work hard, work totally, work intensely. Their only problem is that they don't have much land to create more factories. So just few days before, they have floated an artificial island. And they have succeeded on this artificial island. They will be making factories. And once they succeed on one island, they will float many other islands. They are creating earth for the first time. Tahui does not understand. And this is the sign of a stupid person without understanding anything. To criticize it. But intellectuals are very willing to criticize anything that does not come in their comprehension. But there are ways. Which whether you can comprehend them or not, they work. You should look at the ultimate result. Although the Japanese monasteries have fallen into a dark side, but still there are people who are working with devices which can create awakening. Tahui is absolutely wrong. I was thinking to call his teachings, teachings of a great teacher. But as I am going into his sutras, I will have to change the title of the book. It will be Zen Teachings of a Pseudo Teacher, Tahui.